single one of you here today. Thank you so much for being here. As you can tell, I mean, obviously, this is not a very normal thing. I was telling Pastor Timo before he came, I was like, Pastor Timo, if you wear a tie, I'm going to make you not wear it, because I'm not wearing a tie. So, anyways, I decided to take the suit coat off, too. So, we're not setting a precedent here or anything, just I hope everybody had a good time out canvassing today, and I am not planning on, I think that's a good word to use. I'm not planning on preaching long this afternoon. There's something here that I think God has for us this evening, or this afternoon, I should say, and the funny thing is God sometimes in his word will say a very great many things in a very few words. So I'm hoping that that God's word can really do something in our hearts and just get us thinking about kind of what's going on. I was thinking a little bit about the things that we have going on in the summer. And obviously here at Marquette in the summers, we have a lot of things that we do. And that's a great thing. We have a lot of ministries that we are a part of. We have a lot of ministries that we kind of, that we push out and we ask others to be involved in, and we ourselves are involved in. And that definitely is heightened in the summertime, but it's not just the summertime. It's all year round. And that's a good thing for a church to have a lot of ministries, a lot of ways for God's people to get involved. However, I think the danger for us can be, I mean, really just what the message title is. We can do the right things oftentimes for the wrong reasons. And the danger can be for us is that we can go doing all the service things this summer. We could be at every single thing. We could be at the teen things, and we could be at the kids things, and we could be at every single Wednesday service and every Sunday service, and really anytime the doors are open, we're here, and we could do the wrong, we could be doing the right things for the wrong reasons the entire summer long. And that really would be a tragic thing if we, in some ways, wasted our summer of ministry, of opportunity to minister, and we wasted it by doing the wrong things. This is something, I don't see any teens here tonight, I don't think. So this is something that I preached to the teens a while back. I was looking through what the Lord would have me to preach tonight, and this was something that jumped out at me, because it's not just something that teens need to hear, it's something that every single one of us need to hear, because it's such an easy thing to slip into, something to fall into on accident. So if you would turn to Luke chapter 10, we're going to be looking in verses 38 to 42. It's a very common story that we're going to be talking about today. And like I said before, serving Jesus can get busy, but it's possible for us in all the busyness of serving Jesus to do all of that the entire summer, serving Jesus for nothing. And really, the story of David is, I think, a prime example of serving Jesus, doing all the right things, and it turns out to kind of be for the wrong reasons in a certain portion of his life. I mean, you have David, this great, this young man who's got great character, and he's got great morals, and he is alone in the fields, and he's using that time, as far as we can tell, to get closer to God. I mean, he is literally using this alone time where he is effectively kind of off on his own, from separated from everybody else, and he's using that time to get to know God better, to praise God, to glorify God for his creation and the wonderful things that he's made, and David's taking the time to be quiet before God. And then, for David, life gets busy, right? I mean, he becomes the king, and he has a kingdom to conquer, and he's doing a lot of things for God. He's expanding the kingdom. He's doing exactly what God has commanded him to do, but somewhere along the way, David starts to lose sight of why he's doing what he's doing. He starts to lose sight of the purpose, the right reasons behind the right things that he's doing. And then we see that story with David and Bathsheba, where David falls into sin because he's not in the right place spiritually, he's not in the right place physically, and it demonstrates what his heart has been going towards this entire time. And so this is a very clear explanation, a very clear story where we can see that David was so busy working for God that he stopped spending time with God. He's working, doing the things that God has asked him to do, and building God's kingdom, so to speak. I put that in quotation marks. He's building this kingdom that God has asked him to build. He's doing so many good things for God. But he kind of stops spending that personal, intimate time with just him and God. And things fall apart in his life. And obviously, David is one of those people who is so well-known in Scripture because he has a wonderful confession towards God, and his heart attitude is one of contrition and asking God to forgive him, and he is, and God actually uses him in a great way even after that. But it's amazing for us to see just how easy it is for us to camouflage doing the right things, but camouflaging our wrong reasoning. And that's exactly what we see here in Luke chapter 10 when we look at this common story of Mary and Martha. So let's just go ahead and read this very quickly here. Luke chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 38, and we'll go down to the end of the chapter to verse 42. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he, that's Jesus, entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about, much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, there's, in this next couple of minutes, there's just some very important truths that you want to get across here, and I pray that I would not get in the way of that. I pray that your word would have power, and that your word would affect hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I think the first question that we could ask when we say that you can do the right things for the wrong reasons is how? Right? How in the world could I be spending my entire summer, so to speak, here at church and do all these things and yet do it for the wrong reasons? How could that be a bad thing, doing all the right things? Well, today, Jesus is going to actually draw our attention, just like he's drawing Martha's attention, to three lessons. And hopefully we can see what our focus should be in serving Jesus. Some dangers that draw our focus away from Jesus. Okay, so number one, you can be busy for Jesus and still miss Jesus. You can be busy for Jesus and still miss Jesus. Okay, so we see in this story here that Jesus is coming over to Mary and Martha's house. Now, this is said in a very normal way, but let's just think about this for a moment, okay? What if Jesus was coming over to your house? Now, obviously, we know more about who Jesus was than probably many of these people understood back then, but still, this is a person who is respected and revered as a teacher, and I think Mary and Martha understood that he was more than just a teacher, right? They didn't have everything totally figured out, but this is important, okay? This is Jesus coming over to your house. So what would you do? I mean, I've thought, I don't know if any of you have had this thought exercise, but growing up in a Christian house, my mother has said many times before, well, what would you do if Jesus walked into this house right now? You know, how well would you clean this house if Jesus was going to be here, okay? I mean, just think about that. So Martha is literally faced with that exact legitimate question. You're cleaning the house like Jesus is legitimately going to be there, okay? So now you can imagine, I mean, if you're cleaning a house for a guest who's coming over and you're already stressed out, just think about how much more stressed out you would be if it was Jesus who was coming over. I mean, you're going to dust the top of the fridge and, you know, those the top of the ceiling fans that get really dusty that nobody ever, you'll do that part, right? You'll make sure that everything is good as to the best of your ability, to the best of your knowledge, because Jesus is coming over. That's how Martha felt, okay? I want to make sure that everything's perfect. I want to make sure that everything is good. I want to make sure that nobody's doing the wrong thing. Everybody's helping me to make sure this and Martha misses the whole point. Because here's the deal. The thing that Martha missed was that activity for Jesus does not equal a closer relationship with Jesus. Because the problem is that the devil loves to be able to make us think that activity equals closeness. If I want to do something for somebody else, then that automatically means that I should have a closer relationship with them. It's a reciprocal type relationship. Activity for equals a closer relationship with. That's not how Jesus works, if I can say it that way. Activity for Jesus is wonderful. It's a good thing, but especially when it's not out of your heart, when it's not from a heart of clearly knowing who Jesus is, and you're doing these things from an overflow of what Jesus has done in your heart because you've spent time with him, it's coming from the wrong place. Just because Martha's doing a bunch of stuff for Jesus doesn't mean that she's closer to Jesus before. Oh, this is another important part. It doesn't mean that she's closer to Jesus than Mary is. Right? We can think that too. Well, Lord, I've done this and this and this, and Lord, I'm not that kind of a person, but if I was, have you noticed that so-and-so hasn't been here for VBS or whatever it might be, right? And the way that Martha responds in this passage kind of clues us in that she's kind of feeling that way, right? She says to Jesus here in verse 40, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Lord, do you see what she's doing? Well, I can tell you what she's not doing, right? She's not helping me. She's not helping me because, Lord, you know what I'm doing. I'm trying to serve you and do something good for you. Martha was unfortunately under a wrong assumption. Now, would it have been good to help Martha do things? Of course, there's nothing wrong with doing things for Jesus, with making the house look good for Jesus, with making all the food and whatever Martha was doing. There's nothing wrong with that. It would not have been wrong for Mary to go to help. Yeah, but what was wrong was that Martha was not doing it with the right heart attitude, with the right mindset, with the right purpose behind it. She was doing it almost as a way to demonstrate, well, this should mean more to the Lord than just sitting there. I am doing what's most important, and we'll get to that in a second, because Jesus directly confronts that thought process. And we can feel the exact same way. But wait, if I am doing things for Jesus, doesn't that mean that I'm trying to please him? And won't he be pleased with me trying to please him? Right? If I'm doing things for Jesus, won't he just be pleased with me doing things? And really, the answer is no. Because if that's all we're looking for, if that's all we're doing, just to do things, just because you're always around church, or just because you're always doing something good for others, it doesn't mean that you're growing spiritually. And there's plenty of people in churches all around the country who are convinced that they're doing good things. Because they are. I mean, they're objectively doing good things out in the world, but they've lost the reasoning or the purpose behind it. The church there that's mentioned in Revelation at Ephesus, and they were much the same way. You're doing so many good things, but the Lord says, you've lost your first love. I mean, you're not doing it for the right reasons. And what does he say? Remember where you were. Remember why you used to be doing all these things. And return, and do those good things. Don't stop. Do those good things, but do them for the right reasons. Do them because I have worked in your heart so much that you just can't help it. You just can't help to come and serve. So Martha was doing good things. She was serving Jesus. She was serving his disciples. She was getting things ready. But Jesus says, you've missed the better thing. And what's the better thing? The better thing is being with him. So here's my question. As we see, you can be busy for Jesus and still miss Jesus. My question is, how is your personal relationship with Jesus? The time that nobody else sees, do you spend time alone with him consistently? Are you using your work for God as a replacement of your relationship with God? Are you spending time doing things for God, but never talking to him or never using the opportunities that you have to get to know him better from his word? Don't fall into the same trap that Martha fell into when she was thinking that her work for God equaled a closer relationship with God. Keep your focus on him. Don't keep your focus on the things that you can do to impress him. And so this is the first point. The first lesson is that you can be busy for Jesus and you can still miss him. Your work does not replace your relationship. But number two, Jesus has another lesson for Martha to learn, and that is serving without the right heart leads to frustration. Serving without the right heart leads to frustration. Now again, let's just put ourselves in Martha's shoes. You're trying to do all this good stuff to give Jesus the best. Again, trying to give Jesus the best. You're running around, you're stressed, you're trying to make sure that the food isn't burning. Whatever food she's making then, she's making sure that it's not going too long. In short, you're trying as hard as you can to make sure that everything is perfect for Jesus. And then you look over, and here your sister's just sitting. Maybe talking with Jesus, maybe not, maybe just listening to what Jesus has to say. How would you feel? How would you feel if a special guest is coming over? I was the kid in our family who, mom and dad, obviously there's a lot of things going on in the kitchen, and you're trying to prepare when a guest would come over. And so there was no secret in the Holloway household that Matthew could talk. So they send Matthew into the living room to go and entertain, were the exact words that were used, entertain the guest. And I personally loved that because, I mean, I didn't have to do any of the work in the kitchen with the food, okay? Which to this day kind of has haunted me. I'm not as good of a cook as any of my other brothers, really. So they definitely learned a little bit more on that end, and I just kept practicing talking. So the whole point is, how would you feel if somebody else is doing something away from work? You're getting things ready. You're making sure that everything is prepared. You're doing the cleaning, and you're doing everything that needs to happen, and the serving, the Bible tells us. And there you have somebody who should be helping you in your mindset who's not. Somebody who's just kind of sitting there. And obviously, the first thing that would come to mind is, what a slacker, right? What an absolute slacker. And that's pretty much what Martha thinks, okay? Martha becomes irritated. She becomes accusatory. She becomes stressed out. And notice this. She's doing something good. She's doing something good for Jesus. And still, she's stressed, and she's angry, and she's frustrated. And really, that's the whole point that Jesus is trying to bring across to Martha, is listen, when you have the wrong heart attitude while you're serving, things will get so frustrating. Things will get so frustrating. She's prepping for Jesus. She's trying to give him the best that she has, and she's angry and stressed out. Shouldn't she be excited? Isn't this a wonderful thing? Isn't this a great occasion? She gets to have the opportunity to serve the Lord. Something doesn't really add up here. It's not making sense. But again, doesn't that sound so much like us? We do it all the time. And especially we do it when it comes to spiritual things. Now, I'm not a father, but I remember, as far as when I was younger, the stress of trying to get everybody ready, specifically before church, right? And it happens all across the country. Right? This is not an abnormal thing, right? It's trying to get everybody ready and trying to get everybody in the van and then trying to make sure everybody's buckled and did so-and-so have their breakfast or blah, blah, blah. And you're just like, just get in the car because we need to go serve Jesus. I mean, and then, is something wrong here, right? Isn't something a little bit, and that can so easily define the way that we live our Christian lives. Well, I'm just frustrated because we've got to get there, right? We just got to get there. And yet we forget what we're doing when we're serving. A lot of times we can get frustrated. We can get frustrated with maybe the process. We can get frustrated with the other workers, maybe some people that we don't get along with. We can get frustrated with the kids themselves that we're trying to serve, thinking of VBS. We can get so frustrated Because while we're looking down, we're looking at the things that are going on, the work that I'm trying to do for Jesus, and why aren't things cooperating? Instead of thinking about what I am able to do, let's just say this week with VBS. Wow, what a great opportunity. And yeah, I mean, things aren't really going to go the way that probably I would love them to go, but this is so awesome that I get to serve Jesus in this way. I get to impact the lives of some kids who are here this week. That is such a privilege. I mean, so the mindset that we have can shift a lot. It can shift from what we are able to do, what we get to do, to what we have to do. When our service becomes from obligation, or our service comes from comparison, like Martha is comparing herself to Mary, it becomes joyless. There's no joy. Don't serve Jesus just to try to impress him. Don't serve Jesus just to try to be better than somebody else. Don't serve Jesus because of what you think you can get out of it. Because none of those reasons, none of those attitudes actually build up to what real service is. And really what it is it's the way to miserable Christianity. There's plenty of Christians who are miserable today because they're serving with the wrong motives. And they're wondering why it's not working. They're wondering why they're not happy when they're serving Jesus. And a lot of times it's because they've fallen into the trap of serving Jesus to get attention, or because we want other people to notice. But we should be serving Jesus because of what he's done for us. We should serve Jesus because we want to do whatever we can for him in response. Romans 12:1 is such a common verse. And Paul is saying, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so this is not something that, well, I'm such a great Christian because of all the things that I've been serving here at Marquette. I'm doing so well. And Paul says right here, it's your reasonable service to give God back everything you have. Anything less than that, and we're not doing what we should be. And so it's such a good perspective and mindset when we go back to what Scripture tells us about our mindset for working. So here we go. Martha is on edge, and Martha is upset, and she's frustrated. And what does Jesus do? Let's just look at the verse. Jesus, verse 41 here, Jesus answered, and Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Now Jesus does not shout at Martha. Jesus lovingly corrects her. And what he says, he's trying to tell her that he wants her heart. He doesn't want her works. He wants her. He doesn't want the things that she can try to do for him. Because what Jesus is trying to say to her is that it's more important to be with Jesus than to try to do things for Jesus. It's more important to be with Jesus than to do things for Jesus. And so Mary is a visual representation of the way that Martha's heart should be. Now think through this, okay? I don't think it would have been a bad thing for Martha to continue to serve Jesus, to do the things that she's trying to do. But what Jesus is saying is, listen, your heart is all wrong. You should at least have your heart attitude should look like Mary is right now. What can I get from Jesus? And then your service attitude is, I love Jesus so much that I would love out of the overflow of what Jesus has done for me. From the relationship that I have with him, I cannot do anything else but give him everything back. Instead, Martha has become angry and frustrated and upset because her heart attitude is focused on what she's doing. It's not focused on who she's doing it for. And so here's the thing, when you're with Jesus, when you're spending time with him, when you're getting to know him, that will cause you to want to do things for him, to serve him. And that's the right response. That's the correct response. So check your motivation. Are you serving because you love God? Are you serving out of that overflow of everything that the Lord has done for you? Or are you looking to serve this year to be seen? Or to stay busy? Or to impress others? If you feel burnt out, or if you feel bitter while you're serving, it might be a sign that you've lost sight of your true purpose for serving. And your true purpose for serving is Jesus. Have you lost sight of Jesus today in your serving? So we've seen you can be busy for Jesus and you can still miss Jesus. We've also seen that serving without the right heart leads to frustration. And then Jesus has one more lesson. And in our third lesson from this passage, Jesus wants your heart more than he wants your help. Jesus wants your heart more than your help. So Martha is doing a lot of things for Jesus, but then let's go back and let's look at Mary's posture. Her posture is demonstrating her heart was open to receive something from Jesus. That's very important. She was looking to receive something from Jesus because the contrast is just so clear. I mean, look, Martha was trying to give all of what she had to please Jesus, and Mary, on the other hand, she knew that the one thing that she needed most was what Jesus had to give to her. And we can fall into this trap as well because we think Jesus needs my work. Jesus needs the things that I can do, the things that I would like to give to him. Jesus needs all of this. And we can, unfortunately, have this thought of self-importance. And instead, we forget about the heart attitude, the posture that Mary has, where it's, no. It's not that Jesus needs what I can give to him. It's that I need what Jesus can give to me. And again, that means that our response is our service. Our response to what Jesus has to give to us, when we're open to receive what Jesus has for us, then our response is a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's an act of service that's selfless, and it's focused on Jesus. It's not focused on myself. Now, again, notice that Jesus does not rebuke Martha's work. He simply redirects her focus. He's not saying, Martha, stop working. He's saying, Martha, look at me instead. Mary's focused on the right thing. You're focused on the wrong thing. He saw that her heart was anxious. He saw that she was distracted. He saw that she was overwhelmed. It's not bad to serve Jesus. Right? It's not bad to serve Jesus. Jesus is not telling Martha, put everything down. Stop serving. Stop doing everything that you're doing. He's not at all saying that because, I mean, obviously, what is Jesus doing? He's resting from working. I mean, Jesus is on the road and he's traveling. Of everybody, Jesus is the one who's demonstrating that it's not bad to work. But what he's saying is make sure that you are focused on the right thing. I mean, think about this just for a second. I mean, Jesus, again, is one who's working all the time, but think about the amount of times that the Bible says that Jesus went into a place alone, right, to rest, to just get away from people. Jesus went apart into a mountain or went to a place alone to talk with his Father, to commune with his Father. He has the right focus. Jesus has the right focus. And so, therefore, Jesus' attitude for serving, I mean, you have people who are coming up and in the disciples' mindset, these people are destroying Jesus' quiet time. What are you doing? And what does Jesus do? He teaches them. He welcomes them still because he's focused on the right thing. He's focused on his Father. He's focused on what God has sent him for. what his mission is. He's not focused on himself or his own work. And so with Martha, her focus is on her own work, but Jesus is trying to say that he wants her help, he wants her heart more than her help. Now, again, work, service for Jesus, it's not bad. But don't get caught serving for the wrong reasons and with the wrong attitude. Because when you have the wrong focus, when you have the wrong attitude, when you have the wrong reasons, your service just becomes a whole lot of nothing. 1 Samuel 16:7. Again, a very common verse. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So what does that mean? That means you can see, you can volunteer, you can be super involved. But if your heart attitude is one of pride, if your heart is bitter, if your heart is distracted, God sees that more than the action that you're doing. God sees your heart. God sees your heart attitude. So what's pleasing to God? What's pleasing is when you are serving because God has just done so much in my heart and I just cannot wait to serve him. I just can't wait to serve others because God has just done some great things in my heart and I really want to, I want to share that with other people. I want to minister to other people. I want to demonstrate the love that the Lord has demonstrated to me to other people. Now, on the other hand, when you're spending time with God and when you're looking to become more like Jesus in what you do, in how you live your life, he is going to place within you a fervent desire to serve him. He'll place within you a fervent desire to serve him in the right way. And that's what the right motivation for service is. The right motivation for service is who God is and what he's done. And when we realize who God is, and when we realize what God has done, both in the world around us and in my own heart, that creates in us this amazing response of, I cannot wait to serve him. I have to serve him, do something for him. So what that means is that God is not impressed by our spiritual resume. God's not impressed by those things, the things that we've accomplished. What does he look for? He looks for humility. He looks for sincerity. He looks for love. So ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? If you're planning on helping with VBS this year, or one of our ministries, or if you're always involved in one of these ministries that we have going on, you're always here, why am I doing what I'm doing? Well, I still do it if nobody saw me, if nobody praised me, if nobody complimented the work that I do. Or is it just so other people can see, so other people can notice? Because, friends, the Lord wants our hearts more than he wants our help. He wants our hearts. So we've got a busy summer coming up. It's an exciting summer. Something where people can work together. I love that part about these things where we see God's people working together as a team, as a unified group. We can see God work in us. We can see God work through us. We can see God do some amazing things this summer. But in all of our service this summer, let's remember this. Let's remember to focus on Jesus first. Let's remember to make our service all about Jesus first. And let's remember the lessons that Jesus taught Martha in this passage. You can be busy for Jesus and still miss Jesus. Serving without the right heart leads to frustration. And Jesus wants your heart more than your help. Let's this summer, through the things that we do in this church, let's make sure that we serve Jesus with the right heart this summer. And when we do, we'll be able to see Jesus work in some amazing, incredible ways here. Because that would be amazing, wouldn't it, to see God work to do some amazing things and for us to be able to come out on the other side and say, I was working with the right heart attitude. And that was so rewarding. The Lord wants to give us some great rewards for our service. some amazing things that we can see him work in our own lives and the lives of others when we simply serve him with the right heart attitude. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, this is a common passage of Scripture, a story that many of us know very well, and I pray that you would help us to not bypass this issue in all of our hearts. This is something that's very, very easy to slip into. I do pray that you would really work in our hearts as we are coming up on these ministries. You want to do some amazing things. You want to do some great things, and I pray that we would not get in your way because of our heart attitude. May our heart attitude be one of focusing on Jesus, focusing on the things that you've done and who you are. And because of that, I pray that we could be a part of something amazing that you do in this place. And it would be such a rewarding thing for us to look back on the summer and see all the ways that you worked instead of seeing the frustrations or the things that we didn't appreciate. Thank you so much for everything that you can do. And thank you so much for how you can use every one of us in your plan. In Jesus' name, amen.